Praise the Lord, everyone. Welcome back, all of you. Good to see you all. How about we spend a few minutes in prayer and then we'll look into the Word. Loving Father, Lord, we thank you for this new morning that you have given us. Beautiful it is to come into your presence. Lord, thank you, Lord, for the songs, the verses, your presence. And even as we look into your word again, Lord Jesus, we are reminded, Lord Jesus, we have an enemy. So Lord, help us, protect us to, Lord, get from your precious word what you desire to. So Lord, we submit this room and each one of us and our needs into your loving hands, that you would speak to us. And Lord, your words will be helpful for each one of our lives. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. I think somebody said we have a full house today. That's definitely true. We have more people than last week, and God willing, in the coming days we will have more people coming back and joining us. Hopefully all of our brothers and sisters who are traveling, it's always good to see one another and be in the company of one another. And then there are many other joyful things to rejoice in. So this morning I want to ask you a very simple question, and always when I ask something, there is something hidden in it, right? So you have to figure out what's hidden in it. Are we excited? There's a few of us smiling. Are we excited? You know, you would ask, Brother Matthew, what? It depends. It depends on what? On what should we be excited? And it is always true. It depends on many factors in our life, isn't it? You know, depends, you know. I remember, I'm talking very naturally, you know. If Brother Sanjeev was here, he would have given me a few spiritual answers why he is excited. But I'm talking a bit like a natural man. You know, excitement depends upon what has just happened in my life, what I'm looking forward to. I remember about 7-8 years ago, we wanting to move from our house in Glenwood into this new house, which was not that far off, across the street in Old Windsor Road. We used to go quite often, and some of the brothers used to join me, you know, looking forward to see that house. And when we came inside that 15th of February, that was a very special moment, because we were looking forward to get into that place. And again, last year we were blessed to move into some homes. This year as well, you know, we saw some families who are excited to move into a house. So on that topic of being excited, you know, something new, you know, when that kind of thing happens, we get a bit excited. You know, when you got a very old shoe for 10 years, you've been using it, and somebody gifted you a brand new shoe, you feel excited to wear it. You are happy about it, and things like that. You know, forget about shoe. If you buy a new car, you know, I remember sitting in my new car about 10 years ago, you know, buy a new mobile phone, buy anything new, we are excited, you know, about that thing that is coming our way. So when I ask that question, are you excited, it depends on where my excitement object is. And we are all earthly people, we are living in this earth. So some things excite us, but this morning I'm asking us, what really should excite us is not anything in this world. And if I have to put a label to what we are going to look into this morning, is, are you excited about our future? We sang a fair few songs this morning, Amazing Grace. We sang when the children were here, You Are the Temple of the Living Ghost. We sang a song which said, I was lost and now I'm found. You know, literally we were lost, having no idea where we were going, heading down the worst place to be, and we are now on a brand new path, on a new journey. We have been taken out of that eternal separation from God, and we've been put into a path that we can only comprehend to the extent that is possible. But one day we will fully understand where we are. Maybe that song says that when we've been there 10,000 years, we will be excited, and our excitement would not grow less and less and less. It will remain there because we have seen things that we have not seen before. We are in the presence of the living God. We are dwelling with Him, the God of all of what we hear in this Word of God. We have studied, we have prayed, we have prayed too. We will physically be able to see Him. Our future is bright. Our future is bright. But currently we are living in an earth in 2023, in a time that there is much uncertainty. You know, this is a new year. You know, if I ask you, is 5th of February exciting? You would say, maybe. Is 2023 exciting? Maybe. Is the Lord's Day exciting? It comes every week after week. It should be. It will come again next week. We can remind ourselves that our Lord is going to be with us. Will it be exciting then? It should be. But as we go into this new year, I'm going to just take a quick trip down memory lane. We've been looking at the imminent return of our King. Almost the better half of last year, looking through chapters in Revelation 19. And I don't know if you remember, but we looked at His imminent return. We looked at the, I think, 23 odd signs of His return. We looked at how He's coming. We looked at when John was placed in that island in Patmos, when he was placed in that island, you know, what his visions meant for him and how it progressed throughout those outlined in just two chapters. We looked at many things, but they are all very important things that are yet to happen as we see it in this world. So we should be excited about all of that we looked at. His coming back in chapter 19, verse 11 said, "Now I saw the heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was faithful and true, and in righteousness he judges and makes war." He's coming back in a white horse. He's coming back with his saints. He's coming back in fine linen. And the verses in that chapter itself, verse 16 says, "And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name that is written." Just watch the words. In capital in my Bible it is written, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." So he's coming back into this earth. And there is a lot of things that is going to happen when he's coming back. We read into all of that when what happens last year. Then it was all John being taken up into that island in Patmos, being given this revelation that is very important to us to be excited. And I saw the beast being captured, and I saw the false prophet being captured, and I saw not only the beast and the false prophet, we also saw the dragon, the serpent of old. Three different entities. One by one we saw. Two of them were put into the lake of fire first, and then the dragon was taken, and then the angel was standing on the sun, took him with a chain, a specific chain, and bound him for 1,000 years and established his reign on this earth. And then we saw judgment coming into this earth, and then we saw the white throne judgment, and then we saw the saints reigning with him. We saw all of this. But you know what? This is not it. 19 to chapter 20, and then is what? Something that is very important for us to see this morning. We're going to read just one verse first, and then just ponder on that verse for a few seconds, maybe minutes, and then just be coming back to that subject of who are we in Christ Jesus. Yesterday, those of you who were there in the prayer, I picked up on a word, His own elect. His own elect. And as Brother George was sharing from that word seems to be again resonating this morning in my heart. His own elect. We're all seated here. His own elect. Marked people. Yeah. So let's read the first verse and we'll stop there. And I'll bring it just one big, just for the purposes of slight continuity. One verse in 20, chapter 20, last one we will read, verse 15 says, "And anyone not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Okay, so this was where we finished last year. Anyone whose name was not written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. And I remember all over my thought process was, this all should drive our attitude for what we do, what we have done, and what we should do until we see Him. It's all about attitude, and attitude is governed by what's going on in our hearts. And what's going on in our hearts should be this thing, which is Revelation chapter 21. And what does it say? "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth." I'm going to stop here. We are living in the old earth. As of what John saw, for him, he was given a vision of a new heaven. This is a new year. There are many new things that should bring joy in our lives, and it does. That's why I asked the question, are you excited? And it does. You get a new thing, you're happy. But it fades away. That happiness fades away. I'll tell you, it definitely fades away. When I came back from vacation, my new home's lights doesn't work. The switches also doesn't work. There were many things that were not working in that house. You know, sometimes the new car, when it gets a bump, you know, we become sad. But here we are this morning being reminded, where is our future? What's our future? Immensely privileged we are to be called His elect. It is a new heaven and a new earth that is being introduced to us while we are here. Now watch, for the heaven and the first earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. A lot of time and effort is spent in this first heaven and this first earth that we live in. But it is passing away. It is passing away. This is not a new verse for a lot of us. We have read this verse. We know that. But the aspect of passing away requires careful diligence into what we normally spend time into. I know when you are having an old thing and a new thing, imagine you had an old little car here and you're about to buy a new car. You don't go and spend a lot of time upholstering that car, buying brand new wheels on it and putting, I don't know, maybe some expensive things in it. Because it's old, it's going away, and I know there is a new thing that is coming our way. We look at the new, and we know that the new one is coming. What's the point of doing that? And I have an example of recently, my old phone was not working well. And I was always thinking, what's the point changing the battery for this? There's a new phone coming, why? There is something new coming, why? This is children of God, you and me, His own elect, people saved by grace. We have a new heaven coming our way. And while I'm at that, John was given this great characteristic of this new heaven while this verse still sits. I wonder why. Also, there was no more sea. Very interesting, isn't it? Amongst the every other description that could have been given for this new heaven and new earth, John was given this revelation. There is no more sea in this new heaven. Now what that draws us to think is, this new heaven that we are going to eternally reside in, new earth that is going to be, is not going to be similar to the way we are used to. You know, if we look at ourselves, if we do not have water, we will not survive. It's water-based. Our blood is composed of 90% of water. Our flesh, I think, is about 60-70% water. This earth that we live in survives because of water. If there is no water, there is a major problem. Not only in this world, in countries. If it doesn't rain, We know what has happened to Australia. But this new heaven and a new earth, John was reminded that there is no more sea. No more sea. You know, Patmos is a place in the Aegean Sea. It's an island. It's now one of the Greek islands. It's very close to the Turkish area. Now when this disciple of Christ, in his late years, in AD 95, he has been imprisoned in this place. All what he probably can see is water and water and water and water. What separates him from where he spent all his time being with Jesus, seeing all his miracles, is coming to his end of life, and he has been imprisoned in the island of Patmos. It still exists. It is a Greek city. It has been conquered over the years by various empires of this world. Even the Nazis put their place on that island. There is a monastery over there. But regardless of the space, God chose to reveal a lot of things that is written here through John, one of his disciples, that there will be no more sea. What's important for us is that the composition of this earth that is coming our way is going to be different. Now, if we just park that thought there and just move on to the next verse. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. I'm going to stop there. New earth, new heaven, and a holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. He saw it coming down out of heaven from God. What is the New Jerusalem? There is an old Jerusalem. There is an old Jerusalem that fair few people are finding it hard to hold the real estate ground for their beliefs. But this is a New Jerusalem. This is the New Jerusalem that people of God throughout the ages looked forward to, which is coming down out of heaven from God. Now, if you want to know what that is, the clue is actually in the rest of that verse, which says, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Many things embedded in that verse. What is the New Jerusalem? The New Jerusalem is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. So who is that? Who is that? Who is prepared as a bride adorned for her husband? The church. And that's one of us here. Almost, praise God. All of us. Prepared, coming down, the New Jerusalem. That's us. That's us. The old, which says in the previous verse, has not passed away yet. We are living in this old earth. But when John was given that vision, see, the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. In the past tense, had. Watch that word, had. Has it passed away now while we are living in? No. But when he was given this vision, this is prophetic. He's telling, it is had, gone. What had happened to it? What had happened to it? It's gone, dissolved. That is continually what we've been looking at. I know in 2 Peter, I have read this verse multiple times last year. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about this, what is going on in this, what is going to happen. This place that we are walking, we are enjoying, what's going to happen. But the day of the Lord, in verse 10 says, will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burnt up. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Yes, this was a beautiful place once when God created. When Adam and Eve lived, it was a beautiful place. There was no intention at that time. But now it's not. It's never going to be. It's continually going to be a place that is heading out. It's on its way out. But this morning, our prayer, our application, our eyes, our minds, our souls are invited to draw attention to this new Jerusalem, whose inhabitants are each one of us. We can call our names off and say that from here, each one of us, we are inhabitants of this new Jerusalem. Adorned, this is the prized possession of the husband, each one of us. That's why he went through the cross. That's why he hung out there. When we recently went up there, that place, we couldn't walk up to the Mount of Olives because it was quite steep. It was quite hard to get up there. So we decided to take a cab. But we didn't actually go because it's too far. It's just too far to actually go up there. We didn't go up there, but our Lord went up there. He took the cross. He went through the agony of taking it up on a steep hill. He went up there because he knew that he will have this prized possession, each one of us, to be adorned with him, to be with him forever. You know, while we are at verse 1 and 2, we need to remind ourselves of why did many men and women go through that. Philippians, we know this verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Most of us know this by heart, but I'll just read it out. It says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Citizenship is in heaven, which is not this heaven, not even the heaven that Paul mentioned. A new heaven, the new one that we should be eternally excited about. There are many characteristics of these heaven that we will read through. First one we saw was sea. No more sea, no water. There's no more sea there. Spiritually, sea may mean a lot of things. But that is one thing. We can look into it. There is no more sea. It's a new composition. No more sin. Being with Him. There is a definite indication. If I keep going, Colossians chapter 3. This is again the desire of Paul saying, "If then you were raised with Christ," verse 1, Colossians chapter 3, "seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God." Sitting at the right hand of God. During worship, we also had another verse in Isaiah that brother brought up in his references. He is sitting at the right hand of God prophetically even before he came. He came, but now he is sitting. He is sitting at the right hand. God is encouraging us to seek those things that is above. "Set your minds on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory." This is what should excite us. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will appear with Him in glory. James 4:4 said, Do you not know friendship with this world is enmity with God? This world is where a lot of our troubles are. But this world is passing away. There is a new world, there's a new heaven and a new earth prepared, and a new Jerusalem that is going to come out. That will be very, very beautiful to look at, to enjoy. Way beautiful than what we think it is. After a few months of vacation, you know, when we come back and you find Australia very beautiful. Very beautiful. You forget, in a week's time we will stop and say, well, yeah, pretty hot, and in a few months we will start saying weather issues and all sorts of things. This earth is, yes, still beautiful and all of that, but not for all. Not for all. Not for the ones who are struggling in war-torn countries. Not for the ones who are persecuted. Not for the ones who have just lost their near and dear ones in some bullets that came across in a war-torn country. We're pretty peaceful here. You know, walk out of the airport, I didn't see any machine gun holding people in our airports. Not a single one I saw. We're just walking away and chatting and this and that. Pretty peaceful and nice. We don't know for how long. Regardless of what's going to happen to Australia, we have a new heaven and a new earth. Our God has just reminded us, friendship with this world is enmity with God. But we somehow become friends with many things in this world. I can accuse myself of many things. Friendship with this world is enmity with God. A very wise man in Ecclesiastes said in chapter 7, you know, the day of one's death is better than birth. Why? Because for believers, that's a privilege. You are getting out of this old place, getting into the presence of the eternal King, of the eternal glory of seeing your Savior. Paul, in 2 Corinthians, called his affliction a light affliction. Do you want to turn with me? Read that. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. Sorry, chapter 4. Verse 17. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. And this is the encouragement. Each one of us here looking at the things that are seen, and that discourages us. But we look for the things that are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Then the psalmist sing it in Psalms 42, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you. Psalms 73, another little rendering of how that psalmist was looking forward to this beautiful heaven that we have been reminded this morning. Psalms 73, verse 23, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. Long time ago, the psalmist wrote that, whom I have in heaven but you. He is the object of our everything. That is why this first verse itself we could spend a bit of time as we looked into. He is the one who is giving us this good opportunity today and in the days to come to set our mind on the unseen, on the place that we're going to be. Continue with me back in Revelation chapter 21. What is happening? We read two verses, just two verses. And I heard a loud voice from heaven, verse 3, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. The tabernacle of God is with men. If you had to put a... If John was not paying attention in the first verse and first two, he had to be woken up with a loud noise. Now sometimes we get woken up by some noises and we are sleeping. But here, it's telling, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And watch, we could spend a long time on this second part of this verse. And he will dwell with them. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. That's us being with us, his people, God himself, and he their God. We had a few names of God described to us. In the Old Testament, in that holy city, the Old Jerusalem, there was the presence of God in that place. But apparently, there is no presence of God because they don't have a temple there. The Ark of the Covenant has gone missing. Now, this is eyewitness accounts just a few weeks ago. I heard. It's a very sad thing for the Jewish people. And they are still sad. And they will continue to be sad. There is no presence of God. Because it was there once upon a time. We know it was there in the Old Testament. We know when in the holiest of holies, once in a year, the high priest could go inside on Yom Kippur. That's the day of the atonement. He had to prepare himself. He gets an opportunity to meet with God. He goes inside the holiest of holies. He sacrifices the animal's blood, puts it in. Shekinah glory comes into that place. And he pleads with his God to forgive. The most holiest day comes sometime in September or in October. It's not there anymore. There is no temple there. This morning we sang about the temple. We read about the temple. And we're also reminded of one more thing. The tabernacle of God that disappeared as per history is now also in us. Didn't we not read about that? Did we not know that? As know ye not, you are the temple of the living God. He's living in us. This is something to be excited about. Yeah, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Ephesians chapter 3, many verses we have. It says in verse 17 that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ with passeth knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Christ is now dwelling in our hearts. We know this verse by heart. How did it come? Through faith. Through faith. Long time ago, I think last year itself, maybe, I'm not sure if it was last year or previous year, in John 14, we had a good sermon on our Lord, and where is He going? Where is He going? To prepare a place for us. Is He gone? Yes, He is. Is He preparing? Yes, He is. Is He coming back? Yes, He is. Are we going to be with Him? Yes, we are. Are we going to be in this troubled earth for a long period of time? We do not know how long. But we know one thing, that we will be His people. And we will have to, we can say that my God, I'm in the presence of my God. Not only the dwelling place of God has come in our hearts, but here is His future. He Himself will arrive to live with us. What a great joy. In having a photograph, having some form of resemblance, is different to have a physically the Lord Jesus Christ living with us. The tabernacle of God is with men. This is impossible if you talk to a Jew. Impossible. The God who dwells in unapproachable light, the one who the men and women who could not touch the tabernacle, the one who couldn't look, and we find it very interesting, God had to give the punishment to look. The one who dwells in unapproachable light, we will be with Him. There is a significant reality to what that is. So what's our future? It's beautiful. Not only we will see Him, we will begin to enjoy Him. Not in the way we enjoy Him now. Enjoy in a way, in a new dimension. But if we start to look forward to that, we can say, like the psalmist in Psalms 73, as we were reading, new heaven, new earth. Who do I have in heaven? He, the one who is already entered into there. He is seated. You know what? God says to us another characteristic. There are many characteristics. It's actually five characteristics. We can't go through all of them. But let's just quickly read it out for motivation for our next reading. What does it say? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. Much to think and meditate. This is not just crying. Every tear from their eyes will be taken. There is no death. In the previous chapter, the second death is gone. There is no sorrow. There is no crying. There shall be no more pain. This world we live in, a world of pain. Although it is very beautiful sometimes and takes a lot of our time and our attention. We got to think, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. Tabernacle of God is with men. I'll let brother play a little. I actually recorded hundreds of videos in a few weeks, but while I was this morning, I bumped into a video of a Jewish man explaining to a bunch of Americans about the temple and how significant it is for them. And this morning it reminded me, my temple is not there. It's here. It reminded me that my temple is a different type of temple. I need to be very excited and happy, because if the Jews get one temple now, they will be happy. I'll maybe give a bit of sound mic there. Play it again.
Like a light picture from this area, which is called by the Muslims Haram al-Sharif, Jews and Christians call this place Babylon. Here we see the dome. The dome is the estimated also location of the Temple of Solomon. And this line, you see, that was the area of the Sohar, the outer line, which means the fence of the temple. And this is the House of God, yes, the temple that looked like this. Yeah? And this was the place of the Sanhedrin, and this area is called the section of the woman, yes, and the altar. These two pillars, they're named Yachin and Boaz. Remember that this temple is gone for since the year 70 CE, 2000 years ago. Yes, it was destroyed by the Romans, also by the Jews, yes, but theologically, they believe that God withdrew his presence from this room, the room on the back, which was the Holy of Holies. And the Ark of the Covenant was there. The Ark, inside the Ark, has the Ten Commandments also. We had the Ten Commandments inside, and the presence of God was there. God actually wanted to teach Jews in that two blessings. That they will come back to him and they will be more united. Because by then, they were really separated. There was not enough story with them. And God wanted to teach them a lesson, to send them to a long, this far, a long time back, without their homeland. They lost not only the temple, but the homeland. And this is the trauma, yes, the Jewish trauma is the trauma of the temple. Because of our sins, we've been forced to move from our country. This is from the sources, yes? From the Bishel Chatayelu, the Lilum Ha'atzen. And this is the story of the temple. This is why they claim the way for more. Because they cannot climb to this place anymore. After it has been endured in the time. And it's very sacred place. Because the Ark of the Covenant might be buried somewhere, and this place is the place where the divine is actually waiting for us to be good. With the well of tribes, this connection between all the tribes of Israel, to make this place glorious again. The coming of the third temple is something messianic. When in the days of the Messiah, when the days of the Messiah will come, it will be the time to reconstruct the third temple. Many people think of it as something like supreme, imaginary, and the reality will be completely different. Not the reality we know in the time of the coming of the third temple. This is what the Jews are praying for. It's not really clear what the Jews are praying for this time. Okay.
Why did I bring it up? To see. To see the agony of the Jews, because they think that is the place where God resides. But are you not happy that our eyes have opened to this understanding that we just read this morning in all of these verses that says he's prepared us to be his temple? This is where he's living, not in a physical place anymore. Yes, they may get a temple. That's not the intention of God. This morning, we have been reminded as we look to say that this is the end. That last verse, it said, the former things have passed away. Everything is passing away. This thing is there all around Jerusalem being sold for $50. Or $20. This is just a replica in some capacity as the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah, we've seen I bought it. But this is the thing that has gone missing. There is no presence. There's something he said, right? Because of our sins. withdrew his presence from a physical place. And of course, we here, reading through the New Testament, know much more than that. And then verse 5 said, "And he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." He's making everything new. Everything is new. Like we enjoy new things in our life, it fades away. This newness should excite us. What's our future? In the short term, here in this earth, it's not going to be rosy. It's not going to be... It is still much better compared to first century. It's still much better when Apostle John was about to be put on that cross in that island. It's much better. But no matter what the circumstances are, our joy should not be taken away, because there is a time that is coming. We will be in God's presence. He will dwell physically amongst us. And as we look at that, and I'll just quickly read this, and we'll stop there, and in the coming days we will look at this beautiful characteristics of this new Jerusalem. And that's what is written here. And it is much to be studied too. That man said, you know, some say it's spiritual, some say it's no. What does the word say it is? We'll see what the word says. This new Jerusalem, is it just very hypothetical? But we will read that. But what does it say when it finishes in verse 6? Says, "And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts." This is a different type of water that is going to be provided in this. Not the one that comes from the sea, from the river of life. That's coming in the next chapter. He is going to provide. Not that we will have any need to drink water and survive, but this is going to be, we're just there and we are enjoying from the river of life. "He who overcomes shall inherit all things." And we will finish with that thought. "I will be his God and he shall be my son." We are the daughter and sons of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The one who existed from eternity past, the one who was never created. We are the created ones, and now we have an opportunity to say that, thank you, in that new heaven, God, you're going to wipe away every tear, every sorrow, every crying, no more death, no more pain. So let us pray in that thoughts. Loving Father, we thank you for just those vision that you gave to the Apostle John. Lord, gives us also an opportunity to rejoice, thank, and be excited about our future. Lord, there are many who are struggling in this earth, but Lord Jesus, just like Paul, they looked towards the invisible and they motivated themselves. Lord, even as we live in this fallen earth, Lord, we know that our afflictions, in whatever capacity it is, going to be momentarily, but we are going to go into a place which is far more exceedingly perfect than what we can imagine. We know all that is happening in this earth is going to pass away, and there are many verses in the Word of God that supplements that. But Lord, we thank you that you have also given us this new idea that it's just not about the having something physical. It's who we have with us. that eternal, uncreated God being with us, dwelling with us, being our God, and you being telling us that we are your people. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have revealed, given us such great things, and you have also warned us not to set any affections on this fallen earth that we live in. We ask all of these things in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.